Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. And I am seeing people hanging out here today on our YouTube page. We appreciate you guys. Smash the like button. A lot to get to here on this Friday. Tina's going to drop by. We have some NBA picks. We're also going to kind of dive into NFL free agency. I know we're about 3-4 weeks away from deals actually happening in the NFL, but football never stops. What Tino and I want to do on a Friday is like a fantasy Friday. I think every Friday for sure, we're going to talk some redraft stuff. We're going to talk some, you know, when rookies get drafted, we'll definitely have some takes on, you know, their outlook from a fantasy standpoint, a betting standpoint, just an overall NFL general conversation when some of these players do land on teams. And we will talk, you know, some season-long rankings and dynasty buys and some sell highs, some buy lows, all that kind of stuff. But we wanted, for me anyways, personally, I wanted to just kind of have a bit of a general conversation on some of the free agents that are available in the NFL. You know, guys like Allen Robinson, I know Devontae Adams and Chris Godwin are at the top of the list. Are they going to get franchise tag? Most likely. But there's still a lot of key players, running backs, even a couple interesting tight ends as well who could be in for a fantasy boost depending on their situation. So we'll have a little bit of a fun conversation when it comes to free agents. Would love to hear your guys' take as well, where you think some guys are going to go, like Allen Robinson. What a brutal year for Allen Robinson last year, but still think he's a really good wide receiver. And depending on where he lands, he could, you know, be in for a bounce back year. And certainly there is an opportunity to jump in and get him in dynasty leagues, but there is some risk, right? We just don't know exactly where he's going to go. So Tina's going to drop by. We're going to touch on that. We may get to some MLB stuff as well. We have been hammering some MLB futures all week. Cy Young, MVP, home run leaders, just World Series odds as well. We do have a list of the top 12 players going in NFBC drafts, high stakes leagues. So we wanted to maybe, if we do have time, get into that as well. I got a great guest here for you today to talk a little hockey. I know things didn't go too great for Evan. Birthday bets didn't treat you too well yesterday, but we do have a sharp mind from the Action Network. It's Nicholas Martin, who's going to stop by here in the second segment. We're going to dive into the NHL slate. I also have some picks and some props towards the end of the show as well. I thought yesterday was actually okay. I know we gave Boston in 60. I really liked the Bruins in 60. I know they ended up winning that game in overtime. Unfortunately, we didn't get that one. There were a lot of upsets yesterday in the NHL. Tino, let's just bring up the three stars, and we'll get into the stat of the day in a few moments. But, you know, if you were watching Dangle Bedselli, we did have a lean to the Canucks. I guess we didn't push it hard enough. We definitely stayed away from the Flames, a 10-game winning streak. Most of those games that they won were at home. They went into Vancouver last night, and they got absolutely spanked. It was 7-0 at one point. It wrapped up as a 7-1 game. JT Miller has been all over the, you know, trade rumors. There's reports that the Leafs are calling about JT Miller. I think everybody should be calling about JT Miller. I mean, the guy is an absolute stud, and he is straight up feeling it lately. I mean, he has the four-point night last night, 3 shots on goal and 2 goals. But, you know, February has been a really good month for him. He's got 13 points in 8 games. He had 9 points in 10 games in January. He had 15 points in 10 games in December. He's been absolutely phenomenal for Vancouver this season, which has been a down year for the Canucks. He's not going to come cheap, I'll tell you that. I think Vancouver should listen if they can get a first and some prospects. Maybe they move on from a guy like JT Miller, but he's not going to be cheap. And I'll tell you what, wherever he goes, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love that team a lot because I'm a big fan of JT Miller. We did not get Jack Hughes yesterday. He had 3 apples. He was stuck on 2 shots. But Jesper Bratt returned to the lineup. And, you know, Eric liked the Devils again yesterday as well. We were not on the Penguins. He was feeling New Jersey. We really liked the additions of, you know, Dougie Hamilton at 2.5 shots, who hit his prop, and Jesper Bratt, who returned to the lineup as well. 4 shots, 3 points, and 2 goals. He's having a phenomenal season with the Devils. New Jersey back in action again tonight. I have no problem going back to Jack Hughes for shot props against the Blackhawks, but I haven't, as of now, haven't been able to find Jesper Bratt or Dougie Hamilton. Bratt's a pretty good option at 2.5 as well. And then JF Berube, what is happening? This guy is lighting the world on fire right now. We definitely were not on the Florida Panthers as much as we love the Florida Panthers. I mean, we really do. There's no question we like this Panthers squad, but for JF Berube, this is a pretty good run for him over the past week or so since he's kind of filled in for Elvis Merzlikins. And a phenomenal showing yesterday, 39 saves, the W in Florida. The Panthers, two straight losses now on home ice. I mean, they only have five losses on home ice all year. Berube is going to get the start again tonight against Carolina. He's going to go back-to-back against the Panthers and the Hurricanes. That is basically as tough as it gets. But he played the Leafs the other night. He had 39 saves in that game as well, and he picked up the W, and then he's got three straight wins in there. Wasn't overly impressed with the performance against the Sabres. It was against Buffalo. He was strong. He made 33 saves, and he had a W, but he's going for his fourth straight victory tonight. The Blue Jackets are hot. We did have a couple things from that game. The over early at 6.5. We were on Patrick Laine to score. He continued another great game from Laine. He's not on this board, but he had a phenomenal game. And his shot prop hit as well. And then Sam Bennett's shot prop. So, you know, obviously the picks that I give here on the show, I want them to be correct. But I would also love for you guys to check out ftmbets.com, the betting package. Use the promo code MEANY or Mean Street. Save yourself a little bit of cash. NHL is a promo code you could use as well. The bosses would like that if, you know, you type in a little NHL. We show them NHL. It's profitable and we're doing okay over at ftnbets.com. And with the betting package, you get all of the picks across every sport, and we give them all over at ftnbets.com. We did hit some shot props yesterday. We had a Jake DeBrus anytime goal at plus 320. But like I said, got to give the correct picks on this show. I believe we're on the Wild. We had the Bruins to win in 60. Jack Hughes, Brent Burns. These are some guys that did burn us. But for the most part, a lot of shot props did hit yesterday for us. And I had never seen this before, and I want to talk to Nicholas in the next segment because he is crushing it over at the Action Network. I see him like flirting with 80 units every single night. It seems like he is just getting a ton of picks right. And I'm sprinkling some picks over at Action Network as well. I would love you guys to, you know, check out ftmbets.com. I put in a couple of bets here and there, but I wanted to get you know, Nick's thoughts on some trends, maybe some betting tips that he has for some people who are just getting involved with NHL betting as well. I mean, I think MLB is going to come back, but who knows? We may just be betting NHL for the next couple of months. Hopefully not. Obviously, the NBA is still hanging around as well. But one thing I did notice from yesterday's game, the Blue Jackets were even money not to lose by three goals. Anytime you see that, you got to take it. You have to jump on it, whether it's 0.25 units, 0.5. I put in the bet tracker last night at the +2.5, and then for them to score three goals at plus money. I really think when you see that on the board, I guess there's a couple teams maybe I wouldn't, like Arizona is tough because I don't feel like they score a lot of goals, but the Blue Jackets are scoring and they're feeling it right now. So this is something to keep in mind. We're definitely never going to take a minus 500 team on this show, a minus 450 team. It's either you take the total, you take the upset, or you get involved with the puck line the other way. And I think that was a big takeaway that I had yesterday as well. Before we break, I want to give a little bit of love to our guy, George. He does so much for us on this show. And the stat of the day is things that we're doing over at FTN. If you follow some of our accounts and using some of our tools over at FTN data and just some of the statistics that we have. So a little bit of love here to Devontae Adams. And we'll get to Adams a little bit later on because he is a free agent. I saw Carr's brother tweeting a little bit about how Adams was slow and he was just kind of really trying to get Adams to go to the Raiders. But leaders in yards per route run out of the slot last season, courtesy of FTN data, minimum of 100 slot routes. Adams up at the top. I mean, this guy's an absolute stud, right? 3.6. Debo checks in at 3.5, tied with Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, and then Jamar Chase, who lit the world on fire last year as a rookie. And look at that graphic, Lambeau Field, little Adams there. Man, what a stud. He really is an absolute baller. We've made fun of the Last Dance comment enough on the show, but he really is a fantastic wide receiver, and I'm sure Green Bay Packer fans are hoping that there really is one more go between Adams and Rodgers. All right, we're going to break. We're going to bring in Nicholas. We are going to break down this NHL slate. Don't go anywhere. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Mean Streets continuing here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany as we bring in Nicholas Martin from the Action Network. Nick M underscore hockey on the Twitter machine. Nick, you got a following, dude. Some people are hanging out here with you. They want the hot picks. They want the winners, of course. Thanks for taking the time here, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Chris. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of games here to break down. Like I said off the top, I've just been slowly starting to give some picks here at the Action Network. I know I DM'd you a couple times last week about how to put in parlays and, you know, getting some shot props and teams to win in 60. I just noticed that you are absolutely crushing it and killing it, man. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity to talk a little hockey with you. First of all, do you have, like, for people that are just getting into it, because I feel like we're starting to get a bit of a following here and some people are tuning in to get some NHL picks and really learning the sport and having some fun with it. I notice you get in right away. You seem to get the best possible odds before the lines do move. Do you have any tips or any trends that you follow? Just maybe you want to share a tip or two for the peeps?
Yeah, I think like more than normal this year, there's been a lot where kind of the square play is what, like where everyone's going to see it one way is kind of the right way to see it. I think like the best examples, the overs in Florida, where the number one thing I'm always trying to watch for is what should have happened, like how a game should have gone when I'm evaluating. And I think so many of those Florida games, they should be having 7-8 goals and they are, and they just keep hitting and everyone's going to see it that way. So there's literally no point in waiting on taking 6 or some of the 6.5s when you know everyone's going to come in on the over and the line's always going to move that one way. So I think that's kind of one, like I think with the NHL, a lot of times the sharp money is always going to see it one way. And generally I'm willing to just kind of get on that quick and risk losing value. And I think it's been a lot of these square plays, the puck lines and the overs that people just keep going back to. And then I think kind of the opposite sometimes with the underdogs, sometimes I don't even end up getting them posted, but there's a lot where I'll intentionally wait. So I think just, I don't know if it's that the NHL is a smaller, obviously a lot smaller than any other lines they offer for a lot of these books, but I feel like it's just easier to predict the movement and how the public are going to see it and then where it's going to go. So usually I just think about that. And then the other thing, I'm not too concerned with seeing rosters. Generally players move the needle less than people think with the NHL, because I get some feedback where people say, I wanted to wait and see if this guy or that guy was going to play. But generally one guy doesn't make as much of a difference as people think. Like a good example the other night was when MacKinnon sat and Colorado ended up losing value having backed it the day before. But I actually liked them more after he was out at 2.05 where the puck line got to, because the guys who were going to play those minutes are still ridiculously good. So
right.
It's not the net loss that people are seeing it as.
I had Colorado the other night too, and I put it in early as well. I definitely like to check a day in advance. I think it's easier to now as opposed to 2 months ago with the COVID, with everything that
for
was
sure.
happening. There was some uncertainty. I mean, you never know. I think there was one Avs game just a couple minutes before the puck dropped.
First Nashville.
Kepper was out.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Kepper was out. Makar was out. Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness.
I'm not going to say
Colorado is stacked, but there's like 3 or 4 guys from this game that are not going to play. But we're not seeing that a lot lately. But I was in on the Avs the other night as well in the puck line.
And
then when
McKinnon
left, I thought, it's still okay.
Yeah, those instances happen and it sucks. But I think overall, getting in early on like the obvious spots has gained a ton of value. And the NHL, like there's been so many, especially some of the DraftKings lines where the total's a half goal off, and I'm pretty confident on that, and I'll post it early to the point where I actually got challenged, which is why I started timestamping every single pick, just so if anyone ever looks at the time of posting, they're not going to come back and be like, oh, it's weird how you're gaining this much value consistently. But
it's always one or two hitters. It is part of the game, right?
Yeah.
You want to give winners, but we have the over at ftmbets.com. We have the timestamp as well. I'm up at 1 a.m. posting Columbus in Florida over 6.5 at -120. And then I'm seeing, you know, yesterday afternoon, it got up to 7, which is crazy. And it still hit the over. Let's talk about tonight. Speaking of Columbus, let's start with this game. And I know odds have changed and you've already posted some picks over at the Action Network, but these are some live odds that we have. I always tell people we have the parlay calculator, the free prop shop over at ftmbets.com to get the best possible odds so you don't have to surf around too much. So Carolina, obviously massive favorites here. Gave a little bit of love to JF Berube on the top of this show. Man, the Blue Jackets are pretty hot right now. They've won 9 of their last 11 games, but this is a pretty tough spot to play in Florida and then turn around and have to play this Carolina team. And Berube getting the start yet again is going to be really tough for him and this Columbus team. One thing I have noticed, Nick, this is the fourth time that these two teams have played each other. All the games, we've seen at least 6 goals, 7-4, 6-0, and 6-1. So 24 goals here in the 3 games. Do you have a lean either side? And we can certainly talk some props as well. There may be an opportunity to jump on some guys with Tony DeAngelo sidelined.
Yeah, so I think everyone, the square play is the over, and I would take that as a total. My first pick was actually still on Carolina's puck line. It's moved some now. I just think that the Columbus have gotten some favorable puck luck in a lot of spots over this hot stretch. And last night, I mean, obviously it's a huge result, but Florida really haven't been managing the puck that well. And I don't want to say Johansson was terrible, but I think that just changes the complexion of the game a lot. And you know, it's a lot harder to generate on Carolina than it is Florida and some of these other teams. And I did think even the Leafs game was, they're playing good, and it's a little hard to pitch, you know, a minus 130 puck line now, but I still lean towards Carolina just controlling this one comfortably, making it a lot tougher than it's been for Columbus to generate much and just scoring a fair amount at the other end. So I do kind of think something like 4-2, 5-2 is kind of what I'm looking towards, and I would still lean towards the puck line. But I don't know if you want to go into the props now or not, but
let's do it. Let's just leave it. One thing I will say, you're definitely spot on. Looking at Florida, I don't know if they can play this. I don't know if this style will be successful in the playoffs.
I hope so. Like, I think a lot of people too want to see them succeed, and they're a fun team. And like, I think if you had one of the early prices at like +2500, you're still thrilled. But I feel like a lot of teams take so much hate when they do exactly what Florida are doing, like allowing this.
Well, you're north of the border. You hear it all the time. I'm north of the border. We hear it all the time. I hear it all the time when it comes to the Leafs, right? The Leafs can play with anyone. They can skate with anyone. But you can't win that way in the playoffs. It's just it just doesn't seem to really work. I mean, the Lightning have done it lately, but they have strong defenders and they're rock solid in goal. But yeah, exactly. They're more balanced. But this Panthers team over the last 2 months, I mean, they're right there in terms of allowing a lot of high danger chances and quality scoring chances, right? That's why I think they play to a lot of overs. They can score, but they also give up a lot too. So I do like where you're at. Let's talk props. Jacob Slavin on your radar?
Yeah. So for this one, Jacob Slavin, you could go with point. I think it's minus 150, but I see more value with backing an assist at minus 115. Just so with DeAngelo, he's going to be running the top of the power play. And he's already hitting close to a profitable mark on this anyways. But with DeAngelo out, he's going to be significantly more likely to get an assist running the top of that power play. You could go for a power play point as well. I do think that the unit will still run smoothly with the guys that are there. They have a great power play, obviously, and they really rotate it around. So I don't really think the change in handedness the change in handedness between him and DeAngelo could change how it's going to work as much as some other units. So yeah, I think backing him to get an assist holds some value there, especially in a game where they should score 4-5 goals, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking now at Natural Stat Trick. Over the last 4 weeks, the Blue Jackets have allowed the most shot attempts and the most shots at 5-5.
I'm sure there's some 16. Good shot props too.
There's not a lot out yet. I think it's going to come in a little bit, but Teuvo Teravainen is going to be in my radar. Svechnikov, you can probably get a plus money, but Slavin for an assist, minus 114 over at FanDuel. DraftKings, same, to get a point, minus 145. That's pretty decent. Maybe you can put him in some parlays. I love the assist prop. I mean, you're looking for some long shots, right? Plus 285 for an assist there for Slavin is pretty solid. Let's move on. We got a battle here of California. Tina, let's bring up this LA and Anaheim matchup here. Man, Nick, I really like this Kings squad. They're not afraid to shoot the puck. They've been getting some inconsistent goaltending. The Ducks have had a surprising year as well. This is basically, you know, kind of a pick 'em here. I think the odds have changed a little bit. You can get Kings in 60, I think, at plus 135. Where do you lean between these two teams?
I definitely lean towards LA. I think their defensive game is just a lot sharper. I like the way their top six matches up against both the Ducks lines, the Dano line and the Kopitar line. I think those are tough matchups for the Ducks top six. I'm not a big home ice advantage guy by any means either, but I definitely would argue there's none whatsoever here. And yeah, I just think this is one of the Kings that really managed the puck well. They're playing a really sharp team game. I know their last game came against Arizona, but it was still a really strong effort. And I just think this is one where we're most likely going to see them control more of the play and definitely have a bit of an edge as a pick 'em. I think outside of probably Gibson and Nett, they realistically are skating favorably in everywhere or in every area of the ice. So yeah, I definitely think there's a bit of an edge there with the Kings taking them as a pick 'em here.
And I think there's a lot of also, we'll get into some shot props in the final segment. I'll have a couple, but there's a lot of appealing names here. Arvidsson is shooting the puck more than anyone or just as much as anyone over the past couple of months. Drew Doughty's been okay. Adrian Kempe on the other side, Ricard Raquel. So we could see there's a lot of different options when it comes to shot props as well. Do you think the Kings are legit? Like, do you feel like they're going to be a playoff team and they could make some noise with this roster? Or do you think maybe they're still a couple years away?
I'd say they're still a couple years away. I mean, I love to point out that all you got to do is get there and make the games kind of a coin flip. And they have some of those elements, I think. But I also just don't think there is enough scoring ability there yet. I think they'll get a spot for sure in the Pacific because I'm pretty low on the Sharks and the Ducks, even the Oilers. They might just stay ahead of them the whole time. So I think they should be able to get a playoff spot, but I think probably a first round exit, especially if they're looking at Vegas or Calgary.
All right, one more game here before we get you out of here. Vegas against Arizona here. So it's another kind of lopsided affair, minus 260 for the Golden Knights, the total here at 6. We did see Jack Eichel score his first goal his last time out. He does have 3 points in 3 games. I noticed he wasn't really shooting the puck in his first couple games. He's looking to maybe set up some of his line mates. He had no problem shooting the puck in his last game. He had 5 shots, and he found the back of the net. I feel like they're going through something at the moment. I believe that they will roll with Laurent Brossoit, but it's really hard not to back this team. They're so complete. I could see them winning by a couple goals. Where are you at here?
Yeah, I think this is one where you're getting plus money or about even money on the puck line, and it's just a good spot, I think, for a really good team in Vegas to try to play their best game and kind of get moving in the right direction. I think kind of similar to what we saw from Calgary at the start of January, they kind of fell into a bit of a lull, and they've had the notable roster changes, but I do think we're just going to see them trend upwards closer to the dominant play we expect. And I kind of like this spot coming from where they have been. They had a solid game in San Jose on Sunday, and now they've kind of rested all week getting ready for a game I'm sure they're not looking past, but definitely a very manageable one. And I think we should just see them control a lot of the play here and win comfortably. And then the other thing that I like is I think Pacioretty and Eichel are both settling in, and I Pacioretty wasn't shooting the same coming off the wrist injury, but it's kind of starting to look better the last two times out. And then I think it's pretty logical to think Eichel's going to keep playing better and better moving forward. So I kind of just think right now getting this price is favorable in a spot where I don't think Vegas are going to look past this one and should just be able to score fairly comfortably on the Coyotes.
Yeah, Pacioretty, there was a time, Nicholas, when he was shooting before the wrist injury where his shot prop was up at 4.5 or minus 155 for 3.5. I'm seeing plus 135 for him to have 4 shots tonight against Arizona, I think is also a pretty appealing. I'm going to put you on the spot here on the way out. I'm not talking odds or anything. Give me 2 teams that are on your radar maybe to win the cup, or you got like a bit of a Stanley Cup prediction. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Sure.
As we get closer to playoffs, but who are 2 teams that kind of catch your eye as maybe teams that you would maybe put a sprinkle on to win the cup this year?
Okay. I guess it depends how we want to look at it. So I'll say first, and I know this has become a huge liability for Vegas. I'm more of a chalk guy probably than a lot of people are, but I really think Colorado are the best team in hockey by a decent margin. So, and they do have a much easier route coming out of the West. So I kind of think it's lowering, but I still just feel like they're they're winning the cup probably more than 1 in 5 times. So if you can get a price around that, I still see value there, or a little better than that, obviously. And then with regards to long shots, I guess I would still lean the Flames, depending on the price you can get. I think that's a bit of a trendy pick this week. I know I saw you were on it, I think, last week. If you can still get 18-1 or so, I like them. They definitely have that ability to just keep games tight, I think, and make them somewhat of a coin flip, which I think every year in the playoffs, we kind of forget how marginal it actually plays out some of the times. So I think those are my two. I think the East ones are pretty locked in and pretty tight right
it's
now.
It's a tough route. It's a tough route in the East, right?
And I don't really see who's got an edge, like with Florida so low. I liked Carolina's price. I think it was a month ago. There were still some 1400s out there, but even they're dropping a lot. And now I'm kind of just looking at it. I feel like it's just kind of throwing darts for me, trying to pick who gets there. Right. And they all kind of have their knocks. I almost could see Tampa ahead of some of them, just running the same unit back. They still have Bassey. They still have all the crucial guys. And I kind of think they're just treading water till they get there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they have an under the radar pickup too, right? I know they lost that third line over the past couple of years in Goudreau and, I mean, Gordon, Barclay Goudreau, and Blake Coleman, but they may pick up another like kind of third liner that just goes under the radar and is just excels in that system. I could see them doing something like that. One more, since you're in Calgary and you follow this Flames team obviously pretty closely, do you feel like they're done adding? Do you think that they maybe what do they need? Like depth on the blue line in case
that's exactly what I think. One knock on them that I would make is, well, I mean, I don't want to say it's a knock, but they've had the best health in the league. Like, their top four are all crucial on the back end. And they'd be having Zadorov or Gudbranson step up if one of them went down. So I do think one more guy that's useful and playable on the back end would be a big get, because you can't count on rolling out the same top four all playoffs long, all year long. So I think having one guy to at least give them somewhat of a backup plan who can fill in would be useful. I don't know exactly where they might want to look, but I definitely think that would be a good get for them.
They're going to be a hard out. They're going to be a hard out.
And I'm not a Flames guy, I think. Like, a lot of my friends have known I've traditionally liked to rip on this team a lot. I'm a Caps fan, so I don't think too biased, but I think they are legitimately pretty good this year. So I kind of just have to live with it.
Yes, you do. I was in Calgary in 2004 on the Red Mile when they went on their run. Obviously, they lost in the finals to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I remember one of the games where it looked like they scored. I mean, it was a goal and it was on the front page of every paper in Alberta. They had scored that goal, and eventually the Lightning went on to win the game in overtime, and then they won the Stanley Cup. But that was as close as they've been in a long time. Yeah, I think that they're going to go on a run this year. Everyone's well aware of it was in 04. That's right. Iggy, oink, oink, oink was the chance on the Red Mile that night. Nicholas, you're fantastic, man. Keep up the great work. Check out Nick on Twitter, NickM_hockey, and all of his work over at the Action Network. Good luck tonight, sir, on the ice, and we'll chat again soon. No problem, man. Tino's in here next, and we're going to talk. We're going to switch gears, talk a little football, but we do have some more hockey talk here. Also, some basketball talk on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Tino Rodriguez joins us here on Mean Streets, rocking the FTN green. We're going to talk a little NBA in a little bit, but we wanted to just switch gears. You and I have been back and forth about what to do on Fridays, maybe a little fantasy Friday fun in the future. But we'll address maybe some free agents and see where some of these guys can go and kind of touch on them from a dynasty standpoint. Happy Friday, sir. Welcome in.
Yeah, we could call it Free Agent Friday, I guess, today, right? Yeah, still rings the same, rhymes, has an F in it, yeah. So that's good. I kind of selfishly needed to do this, and I talked to you about some Dynasty stuff going on, and obviously check out All in Football. They just did Dynasty rankings. I was behind the scenes working that. But I think that's the time of year it is right now. It's kind of the dead period, you know, going into free agency. We got to get some franchise tags done, going into the draft, and we're all just staring at our Dynasty rosters and just need to either do something or figure out what's going to happen in the upcoming year. And I mean, there's some question marks. I know it's a big game of speculation, but I think doing these kind of things help us and help a lot of the viewers at home out. So, yeah, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's hopefully what we're – I mean, we try to be a distraction. We give some picks and try to give some winners to you guys. But football really never stops. It's there's always football. We talk free agency. Guys are going to sign. We'll talk draft, implications of where they land. And then all of a sudden it's right into rankings and things like that. But this is the time, I think, to your point. You and I have been chatting off show about, you know, acquiring or flipping some dynasty guys. So we'll probably do that next week. But I think we can get something out of this as well. Let's bring up the list of running backs here through free agency. It is, there's something to be said about making these moves before it happens. You could get burned. You know, you go to acquire a guy like James Conner. Does he stay in Arizona? Does he leave? Does he go to an environment where he's the backup running back? I guess which was the case, which a lot of people thought he would be potentially in Arizona. But one thing I have learned, and I think the viewers will learn if they're unfamiliar with some of these free agents, is Arizona has a lot of work to do. So, you know, you see two Arizona backs here on this board. We'll get to wide receivers later, but Christian Kirk and AJ Green also UFAs. Leonard Fournette, I put up at the top. Your boy, Cordarrelle Patterson. We have Melvin Gordon here. Rashad Penny is super interesting to me. Obviously, he had those amazing weeks down the stretch. If you had him on your fantasy team, you may have won a championship thanks to him. Seattle decided not to pick up his fifth year on the option and making him a free agent. Maybe they regret that. I think they're probably regretting that. Sony Michel, Justin Jackson, Ronald Jones. So two Tampa Bucks on here, and then David Johnson. I don't know. Do you want to start Cordarrelle Patterson? Was this just a one-year wonder? Do you think Atlanta brings him back? To me, it feels like this is an opportunity to sell this guy at his peak.
Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity to sell. I also knew you were going to start with this, and out of everybody on the list, this is the one guy I really don't have a take for, because I don't know what the market is on a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson, right? The receiver, running back, he's kind of the first, you know, the first of many that have come out now, and he's bounced around, and obviously Atlanta was a fit. I think his best bet is going to, I don't know, like just a struggling team, right? Like a Lions, like a Jaguars. Neither of them are actual fits because they have ETN, they have young running backs there. But point being, I think if he can get workload, it's where he'll flourish. If he goes to more of a contending structured team, like Atlanta was all over the place this year, and that's what I think made him a fantasy weapon. So I don't even know if there's going to be much of a market out for him. There are some names on there, though, that I think are super sneaky and will be stingy again, especially in terms of running back committees or at least split backfields. The one that pops out is the man himself, Melvin Gordon, who lives to do this his entire career. I don't know where he's going to go. I think he's going to end up going to a good team and mess up some of our plans. I do think out of all of them, the one I would tread on the most is Rashad Penny. Right now, you're selling him at a super high, right, at the tail end of the season. And I don't hate that. I understand it. And maybe this is his resurgence, right? He's still young enough. But free agency, coming off a small sample size of his only good year, I know the draft capital was there. But if he doesn't stay in Seattle, I don't know. They still have Chris Carson there, so there has to be a decision on his option. So I actually don't think staying in Seattle is the best move for him. But then I also don't know where he's going to go. I think I'd be I'd want to sell him, but I'd also, if you want to buy him, I'm not in here trying to give up the world for him. So there's that. And then, like you said, the Cardinals, man. I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. And they have to keep a quarterback at bay, right? I mean, Kyler Murray isn't very happy either right now. So there are a lot of names on there. And then the Tampa guys. But I also think the Tampa guys, I think a lot of it's contingent on Brady. Like, I'm still in my head thinking Brady's going to come back for Nets, just going to sign with the Bucks, and we all go on our merry way, and we get one more year of it. Because – it just, I don't know why he's going yet. And I'm talking to people yesterday. They're telling me Rodgers to San Francisco. And all I keep saying is, yes, everyone good, go to the NFC, because it's not good. The NFC is not good yet, or it's nowhere near the AFC. And I think there's just a window of opportunity for teams like the Bucks to continue their success and for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to continue to battle for a championship. But yeah, so the Bucks guys are interesting. Those backfield shares are interesting. And then I have no idea what to do with Cordarrelle Patterson. Zero. I have no idea where he'd go.
I don't know either. I think for him, it would be smart to stay in Atlanta. I think it seemed like the Falcons were the only team that really knew how to use this guy, and it worked out pretty well. Really, it got nothing from Mike Davis. I was just looking at certain teams that maybe need a running back. I mean, Miami comes to mind. I think Baltimore is probably fine with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins returning potentially off the injury. San Fran, what do the 49ers do? They probably just ride with Elijah Mitchell. Mostert is a free agent, not on this list. Other guys that aren't on this list, James White, Marlon Mack, not on this list. The Texans, right? Not an ideal landing spot from a fantasy standpoint, but David Johnson's not going to be back there. Philip Lindsay is also unrestricted free agent. I forgot that they moved on from him, but they're probably going to be in the market maybe for a running back. Obviously, these Bucks, you know, if they decide whether they want to bring back Fournette, let Jones walk. Geo is also a UFA as well, so they need to figure out something there. But Atlanta is one of those teams. I mean, they're going to need a running back if they decide that they want to have Cordero Patterson or not. Can you bring up that list one more time? Mm-hmm. I wanted to just Jackson, I think, is a decent back as well. I think he could be, like, if he was given 20 plus touches in Houston, I don't know, man. I think he could be okay. I know it's the Texans, but give this guy 20 plus touches, catches out of the backfield. I think he could be, you know, a low-end RB2 or a flex, depending on his environment. The big takeaway looking at this board, he's not on this list, but, man, like, wheels up for Javonte Williams in Denver with no Melvin Gordon. I'm super excited about him.
Well, that, and then I just got to bring him up again. You mentioned the Texans. It drives me nuts that Melvin Gordon, he's had at least eight rushing touchdowns. I am reading this right. In basically every full season he's had other than his rookie year, each of the last six seasons, the guy was almost a 1,000-yard rusher, three of those seasons finishing close. I mean, his second year in, he had 997 yards, two seasons ago, 986. So it's not like he's far off. The guy's a competent back, only a 1,000-yard rusher once. But at age 29 – I just think you could take him on a flyer. If you're a decent team, maybe he becomes your goal line back, but he could become a touchdown dependent problem in fantasy. He really could be. And I feel like this headache isn't going away and it's a matter of where he goes. But I think there's definitely a market for a guy like Melvin Gordon. Out of all these guys, if I wanted to take a shot on anyone and probably get him cheapest on the dollar, it's Melvin Gordon. He's aging and he's proven it. And I think he'd be a competent guy. Like say a team like the Ravens, right? You saw what they did with, like, Latavius Murray, right? I know everyone likes J.K. Dobbins, but he's coming off an injury. Say they get a guy to kind of clean up the workload a little bit, just kind of punch it in when you get inside the 20. It makes a ton of sense.
I think so, too. Yeah, zero touchdowns as a rookie and then rebounded with 10 in his sophomore season. But his last two years with Denver have been phenomenal. 4.5, 4.6. I know a lot of people wanted Williams, myself included, but he's a veteran back. He's a good pass blocker. Like he said, he's got a nose for the end zone, and he's a good pass catcher as well. I think he's the interesting name on that list for sure, and one that will probably go undrafted. Let's break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk wide receivers and tight ends. Keep her locked. We're talking NFL free agents here on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Tino, we'll save tight ends for another day. I want to give you more than 1.5 minutes to give your NBA pick. So let's bring up the wide receivers here. There's a lot of appealing names. Of course, up at the top, Davante Adams and Chris Godwin. I think these guys could both be franchised. Allen Robinson, Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster. I put, 10 on this list. I'm not a huge believer in Will Fuller, but who knows if he even wants to play football. DJ Chark, Michael Gallup coming off the injury, and Odell Beckham Jr. is not on this list too. I think Gallup will be ready week one. I don't believe that OBJ will be. Christian Kirk and AJ Green on this list as well. Obviously, the top of the board is intriguing, but Allen Robinson, you just made a dynasty trade with him involved, correct?
Yes, I did. And I'm trying to find a reason to not like it. And I mean, I understand that his success in Chicago the last couple of seasons, 150 targets plus over the last two, and then he goes to 66. So you want to know why his numbers dip drastically. It's usage for sure. And he's someone who's been out in social media tweeting that. Now, I don't know what happens. Chicago has the opportunity to still bring him back, which I don't know if it's worrisome or not anymore, knowing that Matt Nagy's not there. But at the same time, I think he can go to a team and really help out. I talked up the Eagles to you a lot. He gives me Alshon Jeffrey vibes. I just think this is a guy that's proven he can be a touchdown maker, especially in the red zone, which is hard to come by in the NFL nowadays. You got to do everything kind of after the catch, which is why these young guys are flourishing and breaking out as much as they are, because they're taking these, 70-yard bombs and just running with it. So I think Allen Robinson kind of has a lost art in the NFL. I think he can help out, a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, in the red zone, where it's not as dependent on the running game and it's not depending on his legs, which he was. And I don't even know if passing wise that would be the best fit for him, just because of how the Eagles you know, run their schemes, but at the same time, they're looking for a wide receiver one. I just think there's a lot of room for Allen Robinson to grow. And for an example, the 4 seasons he's played 16 games, he's finished, you know, inside the top 10 of wide receivers three of those 4 times, right? That's a stat that goes around everywhere. But I think you can look at it as simple as that. I think he's at a super low right now. Don't spend everything you can for him. But the trade I worked out, I ended up getting an early second. It was a pick swap. I got Miles Sanders and Allen Robinson and gave away DeAndre Hopkins. Hurt giving away a 30-year-old DeAndre Hopkins for a couple of years younger than Allen Robinson, but I ended up getting a young running back that I could take a gamble on and kind of gain those assets. And, you know, that's what it is in Dynasty. The trade, yeah, it made sense, but at the same time, I want to take the gamble on Allen Robinson. So as long as you're happy with the guys you're getting, go ahead. And I think, you know, similar to Julio Jones, it kind of burned us last year. I was able to get rid of him, but, you know, hype happens as soon as these guys sign with the team that makes sense. So if you really like a guy and you think, regardless of kind of where he lands, where I feel with Allen Robinson, if you think he can flourish, go ahead and go get him, regardless of what it is.
Bring up that board one more time. George says Robinson to the Lions, and I get where he's going with that. I mean, it may not be a bad spot, but Ra-Ra is going to play in the slot, so he's going to be fine there. I don't know if Robinson will actually land there. I think he'd be a really good fit in Philadelphia. From an NFL standpoint, he would be. I don't know from a fantasy standpoint if that one would be good. As you alluded to, maybe not the best from a fantasy standpoint, but a good real-life situation. I would be in right now on buying Godwin. I just think he's amazing wherever he goes, even if whatever happens in Tampa. They're going to bring in a veteran quarterback. They still have a win-now team. I would buy on Godwin. When you're probably not getting Adams, I would buy on Robinson. I would actually sell on Mike Williams. Juju, I would buy. I'm interested in him as well. And then Michael Gallup is a guy that I would be willing to roll the dice on. Yeah. I just think he's a really good wide receiver, acted as the three most times in Dallas. I think wherever he goes, he could potentially be the two on that team, and he could land in a nice little environment.
One last note.
Well.
I know we got to get out of here, but I also don't knock on
less time for your NBA picks.
No, that's fine. I'll get through it really quick, but buy DeAndre Hopkins too. Look at the list. Christian Kirk and AJ Green on there now. Maybe Rondell Moore. Buy Rondell Moore. I think if you look at it from an outside perspective, not a free agent, but look at some guys that are going to get an uptick in targets, especially a guy like Rondell Moore.
I'm really glad you brought up Rondell Moore because he could be the two, right? I mean, is this a rookie? I still like Kyler. He's not going anywhere. So Rondell's a pretty good buy as well. All right, some NBA here next on Mean Streets. Welcome back in. We're going to turn our attention to the association. It is, I guess, James Harden Day in the NBA. Are you excited, Tino?
No, we don't call it that. See, just saying his name throws the audio off. There was an echo as soon as you say it. Nothing good happens after you utter the words James Harden. I wanted to note, we went 2-1 yesterday, 3-1, including your son's pick, and I did say stay away from that Grizzlies game. They were up the whole time. Ja Morant gets hurt. Timberwolves come back and win. Hate to see it, and we're going to count on the Timberwolves again, but that's going to be our bonus pick. We're starting off with our best bet, and we're taking the Miami Heat, laying the points to cover the 5.5 against the New York Knicks. The Knicks, barely a basketball team. Kemba out for the season. He was one of their only pulses of offense after they lost D-Rose. D-Rose still out. And then the third guy, R.J. Barrett, he's also out, according to everything I'm seeing right now. No Nerlens Noel. I don't see why the number's this low. The Heat, winners of 4 of the last 5 before the break. Knicks, losers of 4 of the last 5. Last time the Heat played the Knicks in Miami, they won by 14, and it really wasn't even that close. So I love Miami tonight, especially coming off a well-rested all-star break. So we'll start there. Then I'm going to take a little bit of a gamble. I'm going to take a home dog here. I think I like the Washington Wizards more than a lot of people do. I know they're playing the San Antonio Spurs, who are sporadic. You know, DeJounte Murray making the all-star game. Jakob Poeltl could have a good night because it doesn't look like any Thomas Bryant is going to play, which could be a problem. Down low, Kyle Kuzma automatically on double-double watch because they're going to need a rebound for that reason. Spurs not great on the road. Wizards getting 3 at home. If you want to take the 3, I understand it. The Wizards handled the Spurs handled the Wizards last time they played in San Antonio, but I think this could be different. Washington okay at home, 5-5. I would just not lay the points in 3 and just take a money line and roll with it and try to take a home dog and get some profit out of it. And then because I told you I wasn't going to pick them, I went against myself and said I'm going to pick them because they're going for the season sweep. The Toronto Raptors have won by double digits each of the last 2 times they played the Charlotte Hornets. One in Charlotte, the last time they won by 15. Spread's only at 2.5. I need to win on the Raptors eventually. This is the game. They're going for the sweep. I'm going for the sweep. We're going to go 3-0 on these picks. I'm taking the Raptors laying the points. And just because it's James Harden night, and I don't want to call it, we're taking +3 at home for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They won by 1 in Philadelphia and handled them early in the first half. I kind of like Minnesota first half in this, or maybe You know, you take the points in that as well. But I like Minnesota to cover the three. It's down to 2.5 in some places I see. So things are trending in Timberwolves, the Timberwolves direction. Pat Bev is probably going to be on James Harden. Not going to be an easy night for him. And I think Kat is rolling right now. So those are the four. Gave you four.
Kat is rolling right now. George says Derek Fleetwood after leaving Chicago. Credit to you, and maybe credit to us just a little bit. We didn't do any NBA three stars, but DeMar DeRozan is somebody. If you've been watching the show, you've been seeing DeMar DeRozan night in and night out. I think we gave MVP 40-1. I believe you have a 40-1 ticket. He is now 18-1 to win the MVP. I don't know, man. We're losing a little bit of value, but still a little small sprinkle. He has been unbelievable. Kyle Kuzma over 20.5 points over at FanDuel minus 105, and even money for him to have a double-double. Some NHL picks in here next. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in one final time. Let's start with some NHL shot props here for this evening. I am rolling with these guys. I mean, some of them are some of the guys that we've just been kind of rolling with nonstop here, like an Alex Tuck, who's averaging 3.4 shots per game this season. He has at least three shots in 10 of his last 11. He is juiced to the over at 2.5. You can find him in some spots at 3.5 plus money. He has at least four shots in 9 of his last 11 games, but I just like him to start as a parlay. Same thing with Victor Arvidsson. Put these two in a parlay and away you go. For Arvidsson, he has at least four shots in 7 of his past 8 games. And a really good spot here for, you know, Victor Arvidsson and Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel against Arizona. The Coyotes have allowed the second most shots at 5-5 per 60 over the last month of the season, thanks to Natural Stat Trick. And for Victor Arvidsson, the Ducks are right there inside the top 10 in shots allowed at 5-5 per 60, the 7th most, and inside the top 10 in shot attempts. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go with the Kings. Drew Doughty, Adrian Kempe on the other side. Rickard Rakell is plus money. Jack Eichel had 7 shot attempts and 5 shots in his last game. The first two games, as said earlier, it looked like he was just kind of getting familiar with his teammates, looking to set everybody up, and then he's just like, that's it. This is over. I'm shooting the puck here. So Arizona, the second most shots allowed at 5-5 per 60. So I'm taking the bonus on TiVo. I do think Svechnikov is in play. I like Slavin as well, over 1.5 shots. But TiVo, you know, he hadn't hit in his last two, but he has hit in 8 of his past 10 games. And Columbus, number 1 in shots allowed. They just played Florida last night. Carolina's definitely going to put some rubber on the net. And then on the way out here, some picks. I like the Kings here at minus 110. I think you can get them at minus 115 now. I even like them in 60 to win. I just feel like this is a team that's feeling it right now, and I like them a lot more than Anaheim. I think they're a little bit more complete. The Golden Knights on the puck line at minus 105. I like goals between Carolina and Columbus. 3 games so far this season, we've seen 25 goals, 7-4, 6-0, and 6-1. And then St. Louis and Vegas, both of these teams to win in 60 at plus 150 in the bet tracker from last night. If Arizona wins tonight, we riot. A whole lot more over at ftmbets.com. Some goal props in there as well. Well, appreciate you guys hanging out. Have a great weekend, a great Friday, and we'll be back on Monday. Cheers.